This podcast is brought to you by DIA, the trusted global neutral forum for healthcare product development professionals. DIA, driving insights to action.
Throughout the global clinical research and healthcare product development ecosystem, the impact of big data grows, well, bigger, and the potential uses of real-world data become ever more real. But few opportunities come without challenges. While we can see the promise, what stands in the way of incorporating big data and real-world data into clinical and regulatory development? I am Alberto Grignolo, editor of DIA Global Forum. Today, my guest is Dr. Shahid Hanif, head of health data and outcomes for ABPI, the Association of the British Pharmaceutical Industry. At our upcoming DIA Europe 2018 meeting in Basel this April, Dr. Hanif will chair the session titled, Has the Time for Big and Real-World Data Finally Arrived? Thank you for joining us today, Dr. Hanif, and I would like to ask you the first question. Before we get into the topic of your session, would you please explain briefly your role as Head of Health Data and Outcomes at the ABPI, please?
Thank you, Alberto, and it's a pleasure to be here today. So my primary role is to represent primarily the UK pharmaceutical industry on health data related issues. That's including an industry positions and policies around the use of real world data, real world evidence, big data and digital technologies across the entire drug development lifecycle from early discovery research through clinical development, market authorization and reimbursement, and through to post-marketing evaluation. And there's three key areas of focus, I guess, for us from an industry perspective. One is around communication and communicating the uses and opportunities to using health data. The second is around building skills and capabilities through collaboration with stakeholders. And lastly, it's around shaping the health data environment. What's the ideal type of environment that we'd like to see from an industry perspective?
The title of your session includes the word finally. So let me ask you about that word. The word finally suggests that the time for big data and real-world data is perhaps overdue. So who or what has the industry been waiting for? Why is the right time right now?
The word finally is perhaps an indication of the cycle of hype around big data and real-world data. There's been a lot of talk about big data and its the opportunities, a lot of inflated expectations, and also a considerable amount of fatigue with realizing the potential of big data and real-world data. And I think where the industry is itself looking at just now, it's looking to catch up on building the capabilities around big data. It's looking to learn and develop their own capabilities within the organization and to look at how are they going to realize the value of the use of big data. At the same time, it also recognizes that stakeholders, such as patients and clinicians, as well as decision makers, such as regulators, HTA bodies and payers, are also in this process of a learning cycle. And in some cases, they're lagging behind that of industry. However, I think there's a recognition across industry that in order to realize the value of big data, there really needs to be a joint and collaborative effort with stakeholders. So in an environment where there now is an increased aligned objectives around ensuring healthcare systems are sustainable and that there's a greater amount of collaboration amongst the stakeholders, then perhaps now we are in a better position to finally really realize the value of big data.
Would it be fair or unfair to say that the pharmaceutical industry and the regulators that deal with that industry have been slower than other industries in looking at and adopting big data, real world data?
I think generally it would be fair to say that. I think generally the pharmaceutical industry as a whole sometimes is on the second wave of some of those innovative technologies. However, it also recognizes the potential, and I guess for the pharmaceutical sizes, for the sizes in which that they are, and particularly in some cases where it's not an immediate focus of their kind of day-to-day activities, it takes a bit of time to develop capabilities in order to ensure that they get enough support across the organization and look to drive what the opportunities are in order to realize some of these benefits.
Is there something special about the healthcare ecosystem, if you will, that would cause the adoption of the big data and real world data by the pharmaceutical industry and the regulators more slowly than might be the case in other industries, such as the retail space, for example?
Yeah, I think there is. I think there's an element of sensitivity when it comes to health data, because it's data pertaining to an individual. And although data in terms of how it's used, whether it's anonymized or pseudonymized, it kind of demonstrates that perhaps it's not so much the individual that there's an interest when such data is being used by researchers and also by industry. However, in terms of using that data, there's still an element of sensitivity, which I think then means that accessing that data and the governance issues around using that data are kind of perhaps a little bit more controlled than what they are for some of the other sectors and areas.
You mentioned the issue of confidentiality of data, and of course we've seen instances where personal financial data have been breached in other organizations, the banking industry, credit industry, et cetera, et cetera. Is there a particular sensitivity that personal health-related data might be subject to breaches? And does that somehow decelerate the interest in using big data and real-world data in the pharmaceutical industry?
Within the pharmaceutical industry, I think there is still a considerable amount of concern around breaching confidentiality. And that's where I think a lot of the work around communicating the uses of health data is very important. Understanding who's using that health data and how that they're using it as well. What are the kind of provisions which are in place which protect the use of that data? All of these things are very important to ensure that they're communicated effectively, because ultimately I think patients are keen for researchers and industry to use the data, particularly if it is going to lead to the development of innovative medicines, particularly for medicines for which there may not be a cure, or in order to kind of enhance or lead to the development of novel medicines, for example.
In the session that you will chair at the Euro meeting in Basel in late April, you will yourself deliver a presentation called IMI Big Data for Better Outcomes. Can you tell us a bit about that initiative, and what will you talk about in your presentation, if you can give us a sneak preview, please?
So the IMI initiative is, as you and perhaps some of your listeners might not be aware, is the Innovative Medicines Initiative, which is one of the largest life science public-private partnerships. And within that, the IMI Big Data for Better Outcomes is a flagship program, which is consistent of a number of different projects. The Big Data for Better Outcomes program, its ultimate aim is to improve health outcomes and healthcare systems in Europe by maximizing the potential of big data. And it's looking to achieve this by being ambitious, transformative, collaborative, disease-specific, and patient-centric. And my presentation will essentially describe the program as a whole, which consists of a number of disease-specific projects, such as in Alzheimer's disease, hematological malignancies, cardiovascular disease, and prostate cancer, with other potential projects coming in the pipeline in future years. And these are underpinned by a couple of coordinating projects, one of which is the Coordination and Support Action called DO-IT, and the second is the European Health Data Network, which aims to develop a data network to enable other researchers to find and safely reuse data.
Since you mentioned better outcomes, I'd like to ask you whether the work of this initiative will somehow dovetail with outcomes-based reimbursement of medicines in Europe and elsewhere, which has been an emerging phenomenon in the past year or two.
Yes, absolutely. I think it is looking at outcomes-based reimbursement as a potential model. It's looking to see how it can develop the necessary data capabilities, but also identify what type of outcomes need to be captured, which are going to be relevant for various decision makers. And how can they look to kind of improve these within these specific disease areas through collaborative working with different stakeholders, with HTA bodies, with clinicians, patients, and industry as well.
With regards to the session as a whole, including your presentation and others, what takeaway messages do you hope the participants will take away from the session?
We're hoping to discuss the current and future use of big data to support regulatory decision-making and reimbursement, and really to identify the kind of outcomes that will demonstrate value through the use of big data, and whether these data are accessible. It'll also look to describe how big data is being used in order to inform both operational predictability and also scientific validity through a various study conduct.
And finally, Dr. Hanif, since you represent the British pharmaceutical industry, the obligatory Brexit question, if I may. What impact, if any, do you foresee Brexit might have on big data or real-world data utilization in the UK in particular?
In the near future, perhaps there won't be that much of an impact. But the longer term will perhaps really depend on the type of relationship which then exists between decision-making bodies, such as the MHRA and NICE and the EMA, for example, both to ensure that there won't be any detrimental impact, but also from a UK perspective, where there is a richness of data, how can it essentially look towards leveraging some of the value of that data in order to both improve the research and accelerate the development and access to innovative medicines.
Is it correct that in the UK there have been some highly innovative initiatives, I believe in Scotland perhaps, around real-world data, big data, that could be of interest to other parts of Europe post-Brexit?
Yeah, I think in a place like Scotland, which has a relatively small country with a population of about 5 to 6 million, it has electronic health records, which are interoperable, which can be used across the different hospital networks. And so from a research perspective, they're quite well connected. From a UK perspective as a whole, there are a couple of initiatives which are looking to accelerate the access of innovative medicines, one of which is the Early Access to Medicines initiative, which was initiated by through the MHRA and NICE and the NHS all have a key role to play. And another is around the Accelerated Access Collaborative, which is, again, something which has been developing over the last year to 2 years, which is looking to accelerate a handful of innovative and novel technologies and see how they can penetrate the market quicker.
Thank you. And that brings us to the end of our conversation. Dr. Hanif, thank you very much for your time and insights today. And I look forward to seeing you in Basel in late April.
Thank you very much, Alberto. I look forward to it.
For the AA Global Forum, I am Alberto Grignolo.
To learn more about this topic, visit us online at diaglobal.org.